This is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible. And I trust that God will help us to glean from it today. The Bible said in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15, and he said, this is Jesus talking, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and he took his journey into a far country. Someone might wonder, I didn't mean to say this, but you might wonder why my heart was broken in the altar a moment ago, and I'll tell you why. I'm a father that has a daughter in the far country. I have two precious daughters that were standing here being used of the Lord. How many believes it would be wonderful to see a third one standing here too? Can I tell you this? It'll take a miracle. But my God's in the miracle working business. Amen. He took his journey into the far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. I thought about as I studied this yesterday, sometimes we concentrate more on the wasted substance than we do the wayward soul. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. When you look at this, it looks like the prodigal. He practiced this all the way home. I know what I'm going to say to dad. I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned in your sight. He just practiced it over and over and over, I believe. And when he got there, he said exactly what he said he was going to say. Father, I've sinned. I've sinned. And he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Look at these three words this morning. This is what gripped my heart. But the Father. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray for just a moment and we'll look at the Scripture together. Father, I sure do need your help this morning. I'm glad, Lord, you'll help me. I'm glad, Lord, I've leaned on you now for 26 years and you've never let me down. God, I pray this morning you'd help me. God, Lord, be able to just bring the message out the way you put it in my heart. God, I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that you would speak the hearts of this building today. Lord, there's some folk here today. Lord, if you don't do something in their life, they're headed for the far country. Oh, God, I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name. to work in our midst. Help us today to glean something, Lord, from this message that would make us a better Christian, that would make us more like Jesus, that would make us, Lord, more in love with You and want to serve You more. As Brother Kyle taught in Sunday school, just to want to be fully and wholly following the Lord in these days. God will give You glory for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to bring a message this morning, if the Lord will help me for just a little while, entitled, But for the Father. But for the Father. This passage of Scripture, Brother Joe, has preached on over and over and over and over again, and it ought to be. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. But most of the time when this passage of Scripture is preached, the emphasis is put on the Son. This morning, my heart and my mind is not directed towards putting the emphasis on the Son, though we'll make mention of some things as we go through the message, but it's in my heart and in my mind to take us to the Father and see the Father in this story this morning as He relates to your life and to mine. I thank the Lord that this Father's Day we can have a Father in heaven, amen, that loves us and care for us, and we can see characteristics of that life right here in the Scripture. I'm going to say just a couple of things this morning. Actually, there's seven things listed right here. The reason I went ahead and told you that, that'll get you to pray if nothing else did. Say amen. I'm going to bring seven things that God showed me from the Word of God right here. Number one, but for the Father, we would have had nothing to start with. Amen. The Word of God said here in verse number 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. If it weren't for the Father this morning, you and I would have had nothing to start with. I'm going all the way back, my friend, when you and I were lost without God, living in sin, amen, had no use for the Lord, we would have had nothing to start with. You say, preacher, is this a picture of a man that's lost, or is it a picture of a man that's saved and gets out of fellowship with God? I believe you can make application of a saved man getting out of fellowship with God, but I believe if you read in the beginning of the chapter, all of these things are pertaining to the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son, to the fact that Jesus receives sinners and He eats with them. Amen. That's what Jesus is painting a picture of in these parables over and over and over again. I couldn't help but think, hey, listen, I would have been destroyed before I ever got out of my mother's womb if the devil had his way. Amen. But thank God, God took care of me in there. God gave me my little fingers and my little toes and my heart and my lungs and my brain and my eyes and my mouth to speak and the teeth that I have in my head. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? If it weren't for the Father, I wouldn't have had anything to start with. That's what I'm trying to say. This morning, if it weren't for the Father, I'm talking about a lost man now. I would have never even had a roof over my head. If it weren't for the Father, I would have never had air to breathe. And no wonder the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. If it weren't for the Father, I would have never had a sandwich to eat. If it weren't for the Father that cares for us this morning, you say, preacher, I don't understand where that fits in this message. Let me tell you something right now. If a sinner ever figures out how good God's been to him, he'll run to Jesus because the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Amen. God's been good to us. You say, preacher, God ain't been good to me. You're deceived. I don't care who you are. I don't care what shape you're in. God's been good to you. And the goodness of God is not designed to lead men and women and boys and girls to hell. But it's designed to lead men and women and boys and girls to Calvary that they might meet the Father. Amen. But for the Father, I wouldn't have had anything to start with. You say, preacher, you believe? Listen. It was, preacher, I'm the one that studied. I'm the one that got that good job. I'm the one that worked. I'm the one that sweated. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're missing the boat. If you think you've done anything, because without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. Amen. But thank God the Father has given us everything that we have. The Word of God said it like this. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I used to live alongside of a man, Glade Spring, Virginia. He was so arrogant. He was so full of pride. He had a 67-acre farm, and you would have thought he owned the state of Tennessee. He told my father and I, we went in to visit with him one day, and he had remodeled his own his old home place. Well, thank God for that. But as we walked through, Sister Geraldine, he said it over and over. Boys, this place looks good, don't it? Boys, you'd have never thought this place this nice, would you? Ain't this nice? Ain't this nice? Gag a maggot off a gut wagon. Amen. I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to stop in every room and say, thank God for a roof over my head. Thank God for the kitchen where we can eat. Thank God for a place to sleep. Thank God for a place where we can greet our guests in our home. He told me and my dad, he said, I just go back here sometimes and kick my feet up on the dashboard. Said, I just like to look at my farm. Just full of pride. Arrogant. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we'll realize the goodness of God, Brother Wayne, it'll knock our pride out of you. 20 years ago, I left the church in Wise, Virginia, Hurricane Baptist Church. God said, your work's done, and I left. My brother, Brother Tim, rented the U-Haul truck. My brother rented the storage building, put my furniture in it. And I moved into the basement of my father's for 6 months with 4 children. I went to see a chiropractor down in my back. And the chiropractor ended up giving me some work. And I was able to feed my kids where Dad wouldn't have to feed them. Amen. And you say, preacher, why did you say that? That's just 20 years ago. Brother Wayne, God's been good to me. I tell you right now, listen to me right now. But for the Father, I wouldn't have had nothing to start with. Amen. I tell you, you're looking at a man that don't deserve to be standing here, that don't deserve a vehicle to drive, that don't deserve a house to live in, that surely don't deserve a home in heaven. But God's been good to me. But for the Father, we'd have had nothing to start with. There's some people in this room that have great jobs and great educations, and I'm so glad for you. But I tell you, don't let it make your head big. Let it make your heart big. Let your heart swell up, amen, with thanksgiving to God. And be humble and realize, amen, it's God that gives us everything that we have. And I believe you do. But we're living in a world that don't want to acknowledge His goodness. He's been good to me. Has He been good to you? But for the Father, I would have had nothing to start. Secondly, but for the Father, I would have never made it to the far country. He said, now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Let me ask you a question. It's kind of personal-like. How many's in this room's ever been to the far country? Let me tell you something right now. The devil would have killed you on the way to the far country if it hadn't have been for the Father. Say amen right there. You'd have died without God and went to hell on the way to the far country if it wasn't for a Father that looked down in mercy and a Father that preserved your life and preserved an opportunity for us to be saved by the grace of God. We'd have never made it to the far country. I was in prison one time. And I was preaching somewhat along those lines right there. In Him we live and move and have our being. And this man came to me afterwards and he got saved. He said, this is what he said. He said, I got so discouraged. He said, I got so depressed. I stopped taking my medicine. And he was out one night and he was drinking and driving. And he drove off the end of a bridge and landed down in a bunch of rocks in the river. Are you, how many's listening to me? I'm preaching like I am this morning, how that God preserved us, how that God looked over us. He said when he woke up in the hospital, he said the doctor said to him, said, how come you've not been taking your medicine? He was on blood thinner. He said, how come? He said, about a month ago. He said, I got so discouraged, I got so depressed, I just quit taking my medicine. And the doctor looked at him and said, had you been taking it, you would have died down there in the river. It was 3 hours before they found him, and he did not bleed to death because 30 days before he stopped taking medicine, and then in the prison, he got saved by the grace of God. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? If it hadn't been for the Lord, I wouldn't have had nothing to start with. And if it hadn't been for the Lord, I'd have never made it to the far country. Thirdly, if it hadn't have been for the Lord, but for the Father, Listen to this carefully. How many believes this? Had it not been for the Father, I would have never gotten uncomfortable in the far country. Can I tell you something about the flesh? It loves the far country. Can I tell you something? When God begins to work in a man's life, when God begins to work in a woman's life, when God begins to work in a teenager's life, they get tired of the far country. They get uncomfortable in the far country. They get tired of laying down their head at night knowing that if they die in the night, there's something that's missing and there's something that's going to get them in trouble if they go out into eternity without Jesus. And they get tired of it. And they get tired of it. And they get uncomfortable. Let me tell you something, that Holy Ghost conviction, it is uncomfortable. It has always been uncomfortable. And it will forever be uncomfortable. And it's God that makes us uncomfortable in the far country. You can go right along and enjoy the far country till God visits you in the far country. He'll make you so uncomfortable. I've heard stories. I was in Missouri years ago. There was a man by the name of Herman. Herman's face looked like he ran a bulldozer over it. He had lines and wrinkles upon lines and wrinkles. I met him in the yard of the prison in Missouri, 104 degrees that day. And I said to him, I preached the night before. There was only 10 inmates there. There was more of us than there was of them. And he was one of them. He had long hair. The next day, on the way into the prison, I met him in the yard and he shook my hand and he said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "The crowd was thin last night. I remember you." He said, "My name is Herman." He said, "Preacher, I'm 49 years old. He said, "Preacher, I've been married 5 times. Hello, does anybody know your Bible? Amen. He said, "I've been married 5 times. He said, "My life is nothing but a mess." He said, "Preacher, I've been up all night. I left that meeting the night before and I didn't think one thing was happening. I thought I was beating my head against the wall. I'm telling you, we didn't see a move. We didn't even hear a holy grunting in the service. But that man was up all night." You will say, "Why, preacher?" Because God visited him in the far country and God made him uncomfortable in the far country. And he wasn't happy until he got out of the far country and come to the Lord. He looked at me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "can I come back to church tonight and get saved?" Yeah, Brother Sam, I looked at him. I said, "Herman, let me tell you something. This was 10 o'clock in the morning." I said, "Herman, you see that sun?" He said, "Yeah, I see it." I said, "Before it sets in the west, I said, the Son of God could appear in the east." I said, "If God's been dealing with you and you've been up all night," I said, "I'm not going to encourage you to wait till tonight." I said, "I'd get that matter taken care of right now." You say, "Preacher, you got Bible for that?" Sure do. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what another day may bring forth. You say, "I'll get saved next Father's Day." You don't know if you'll even be here next Father's Day or not. It's the Holy Ghost that made us uncomfortable. But for the Father, I would have never been made uncomfortable in the far country. But for the Father, I wouldn't have anything to start with. But for the Father, thank God I would have never made it to the far country. Let me give you this. Number four. But for the Father, he would have never came to himself in the far country. Now wait a minute. Let me just say something to you right here. Listen, hear me well right here. God visits people in the far country. By the way, I believe that he visited Felix. Amen. I believe that he visited Agrippa. Say amen right there. But there's no record where they ever came out of the far country. Listen to me. Just because God visits you in the far country does not mean that you're going to come out of the far country. But thank God, what God wants us to see right here is it's because of the Father. But for the Father, I would have never came to myself in the far country. Thank God, here's a man that didn't just get visited by God. He didn't just get convicted, but he came to himself. You know what I believe? I believe that'd be a good prayer for this church to start praying. God help Bloomingdale to come to itself. They're walking through life. They're going through life just like it's a party and just like there's no judgment day ahead. Just like Jesus is not coming. And we need to wake up. Say amen. And we need our community to wake up. We need our county to wake up. We need our state to wake up. We need our country to wake up because Jesus is coming. If it weren't for the Father, but for the Father, he would have never came to himself in the far country. You say, preacher, listen to what the Bible said. Jesus said, no man, Brother Earl, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Amen. Folk, I don't just believe that. I believe that strongly. I believe the Holy Ghost doesn't just visit a man in the far country, but I believe it's the Holy Ghost that draws that man. Helps that man to come to himself. Helps that woman to come to herself. Helps that teenager to come to themselves. Helps that boy or girl to come to themselves. Thank God. But for the Father, he would have never came to himself in the far country. Let me give you this. But for the Father, he would have died in the far country. Thank God he had something to remember. Amen. Sometimes fathers get discouraged. Would the fathers say amen right there? Brother Ralph, when Anthony wasn't doing what Anthony was supposed to be doing, did you ever get discouraged? Did you ever wonder, oh God, will he ever? Oh God, will he ever? I tell you, then you know how to pray for me, Brother Ralph. Say amen right there. Amen. I'm telling you, but there's a God in heaven that's still in the miracle working business. And he doesn't want people to die in the far country. He wants to get them out of the far country. But for the Father, he would have died. And he would have never made it out of the far country. Let me give you a couple of things quickly. This is all under number 6. But for the Father, look in verse 18 and 19. The Bible said here he came to himself. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? Verse 18. I will arise and go to my father's house and I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. By the way, if I counted right, I tried to count this early this morning. The Father, more than this is referenced to, but the word Father is used 8 times in this story. Does anybody know what the word, what the number 8 represents in the Bible? A new beginning. Oh, glory to God. You know what you're talking about when the Father shows up 8 times? Say amen right there. You're talking about an opportunity for a new beginning. A brand new start. That's why the Bible said being born again. Not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. The Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. But for the Father, there would be no contrition. He was sorry in verse number 18 and 19. But for the Father, there would be no contrition. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The Bible said, I will draw nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. Let me just say this to you. You don't have to weep to be broken. But you'll have to be broken to be saved. Your will have to be broken. You will have to come to a place of agreement with God. God, you're right. I'm the sinner. God, you're right. You're the Savior. God, you're right. I'm on my way to hell. And I want to be saved. God shows us here, without the Father, there'd be no contrition. Without the Father, look at verse 20, there'd be no compassion. When the Father saw him a great way off,
You say, preacher, what does that tell you? I'll tell you what it tells me. It tells me the Father was looking for him. Glory to God. When I wasn't looking for the Father was looking for me. Hallelujah. When I didn't have him on my mind, he had me on his mind. He was looking for him. Looking for him. Compassion. Verse 20. He had compassion on him and he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Let me say this to you. The Father received him just like he was. Get a hold of this. Brother Fred, the Father didn't tell him, son, go take a shower and I'll think about hugging your neck. And I'll think about kissing you. Son, go get them pig clothes off. Amen. He didn't say that. He ran. He fell on him. He kissed him. He loved him. He received him just like he was. But listen to me. Get a hold of this. He loved him way too much to leave him like that. He said, get the best robe. Get a ring. Get some shoes. We're going to have a time. Amen. We're going to celebrate. Hallelujah. But for the Father, there's no contrition, there's no compassion, there's no confession in verse 21. He said to the Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Without the Father, there's no celebration. He said, but the Father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. You know what? All the boy wanted was to be a servant. That's all he wanted. Brother Joe, he'd have been tickled to death just to be a servant. But you know what Father said? Ain't good enough for me. You're my son. Every born again person in this building is an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Adopted. Born. And then adopted a full-grown son with full-grown benefits into the family of God. Oh, beloved friend, this morning, I don't know about you, but that blesses my heart. But for the Father, there'd be no celebration. But for the Father, there'd be no conversion. Look at verse 24. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. And is found. Somebody said one time, they said, well, getting saved is easy as taking a drink of water. Brother David, people try to oversimplify it sometimes. And then other people try to make it too complicated. But a wise old man of God said to that man, he said, let me see you get a dead man to take a drink of water. Amen. Brother Tim, we're dead in trespasses and sandal. He comes along. And quickens us, say amen. But when he does, hallelujah, we can respond to him and we can come to him and we can confess to him and we can be saved by his good grace. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. But for the Father, the robe. Let me just give you this. Well, this blessed my heart. I never had seen this before. A whole lot I ain't never seen. But you know, Brother Arnold, he didn't say, go and prepare the robe. I'll catch you down there at the light if you get a hold of this. We ain't got a hold of me yesterday. Say amen. Yeah. He didn't say, go and make a robe. He just said, bring it. He said, preacher, what you got right here? How about this? The robe's already prepared this morning.
Yeah.
All God's got to do is bring it. Say amen. All God's got to do is put it on you. Say amen. And I tell you, it's a robe of righteousness. A robe of the righteousness of Christ. He said, preacher, don't he have to prepare it? No, sir. It's already been prepared. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, God had a robe prepared for you and for me. And not only that, think about the price of the robe. It cost God His only begotten Son. It cost His only begotten Son His life. What a blessing this morning to know we can have a ring. A robe is a picture of salvation. The ring is a picture of sonship. And the shoes are a picture of service. I believe it's absolutely normal for a man that gets saved to want to get up and do something for God. You say, well, I got saved and I don't care whether I do anything or not. I'd keep it to myself if I was you. Amen. Saved people want to serve the Lord that bought them and paid the price at Calvary. Amen. Saved people want to see somebody else saved by the grace of God. In closing, but for the Father, there would be no hope for us today. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Well, remember how the chapter started. Brother Gary on this side a while ago, after I called on Brother Gary to pray, I said, well, I should have used the last name. Amen. There's three Brother Garys here this morning that I can think of quickly. Amen. It had been all right if all three of them had prayed. Say amen right there. One woman told a fellow one time, told the preacher after church, said, all them people in that altar praying out loud, I couldn't hear a word they're saying. He said, honey, they wasn't talking to you. Back in the beginning of the chapter, this man, he receives sinners. And he eats with them. I'm just glad we have a Father this morning that receives sinners. And he eats with them. Say amen. It ain't no wonder the Pharisees hated him. Say amen. Oh, they had the outside fixed up real good. But the inside was a mess. Tell you what the robe does. It gets the inside fixed up real good. And it works its way to the outside. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God, thank God, thank God. But for the Father. I'd still be in the far country. But for the Father. I'd have never had anything to start with. But for the Father. But for the Father. Everyone in this building this morning would be without hope in this ungodly world that we live in. But how many is glad we have a Father and we have hope. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You this morning for the Word of God. Thank You for the story, Lord. We call it the story of the prodigal son. This morning, Lord, it's been the story of the prodigal's father. Lord, we love You this morning and we thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving us an opportunity, Lord, to serve You. God, You know I don't deserve to be standing here. Lord, if I had what I deserved, the flames of hell would already be licking at me. God, I'm so glad I'll never go to hell. I'm so glad, Lord, that You didn't just find me in the far country, but You freed me. Lord, You set me free. God, I thank You this morning for my people that are gathered here. Those that are traveling today, bless them. God, I pray this morning, Lord, there could be somebody here this morning. Lord, they're in the far country. I pray they've heard the voice of the Spirit of God. God, they'd want to get out. But for the Father, Lord, we would have never had an opportunity to come to ourselves in the far country. Somebody this morning needs to say, I will arise and go to my Father.